home. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are very delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. What a privilege it is to be with you. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And you can also listen to the show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN, Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today's show, we're going to cover sensitive topics that might not be suitable for your children, so viewer discretion is advised. And today we are welcoming back Dr. Anna Norden to our show. Now, Dr. Norden has been a practicing naturopathic physician and a psychotherapist for 38 years who specializes in addiction and grief counseling. She completed her undergraduate training at McGill University and her graduate studies at the University of Toronto and Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. She specializes in Jungian psychology in her postgraduate studies at the Pacifica Institute in Santa Barbara, California, and the C.J. Jung Institute in Los Angeles. Well, she is a former staff physician at Project Defending Life in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And today she's going to be with us again today to speak about the real pain of post-abortion syndrome and working as a pro-life doctor to heal from this syndrome.
We're going to read once again, we did it yesterday, a piece from Evangelium Vitae. If you never read Evangelium Vitae, you need to read it, that wonderful encyclical by St. Pope John Paul II. Just go online, put in Evangelium Vitae or EWTN Evangelium Vitae, and it could come up. And this is the heart of the church. It's the heart of Jesus Christ for those who've experienced abortion. John Paul II says, "I would now like to say a special word to women who have had an abortion. The church is aware of the many factors which may have influenced your decision. And she does not doubt that in many cases it was painful and even a shattering decision. The wound in your heart may not have yet healed. Certainly what happened was and remains terribly wrong. But do not give in to discouragement. Do not lose hope. Try rather to understand what happened. Face it honestly. If you've not already done so, give yourselves over with humility and trust to repentance. The Father of mercies is ready to give you his forgiveness and his peace in the sacrament of reconciliation. To the same Father and to his mercy, you can, with sure hope, entrust your child. Mm. With the friendly and expert help and advice of other people, and as a result of your own painful experience, you can be among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. Through your commitment to life, whether by accepting the birth of other children or by welcoming and caring for those most in need of someone to be close to them, you will become promoters of a new way of looking at human life." It's with that hope, with that honesty, with coming into the sanity that the Lord desires for you, being in touch with your past, what really happened, owning anything you need to own, knowing the forgiveness and mercy of God, living in the now, being set free, and contributing to the lives of other people, setting your face towards a future of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest again today is Dr. Anna Norden. She is a naturopathic physician and a psychotherapist. Go out to her website. It's afterabortion.org. And know this, if you're out there and you're a post-abortive man or woman, God's mercy is extravagant. And it's never the end of the story. And he's always full of love and mercy and truth to heal and restore your soul. Well, Dr. Anna, we are excited to have you again. For those who didn't get the show yesterday, tell our family briefly about your story, sure, and then we're going to go right into the symptoms of being a post-abortive men or women, yeah, and how they manifest themselves in relationships.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you again for bringing me back second time to continue. It's extremely important to get the message out there. So many suffering women who are not even aware yet of what they're suffering from. And myself, I had an abortion at 16 and realized immediately it was wrong. And got pregnant again, trying to make up for that. So I had the experience of having had an abortion and being an unwed teen. And just being an unwed teen was difficult, but it was joyful, and there was hope, there was life inside me, versus the abortion was just a horrible death kind of spiral experience. And then I embraced the Catholic faith years later, not even realizing that it was, you know, part of the religious understandings that these abortions were wrong. I discovered it through my own heart, not part of a doctrine, because it's a universal wrong, basically. And then I think it just took me decades to heal. And then at some point I was like, okay, I think the rest of my healing will be helping other women to overcome what I went through, and making it, because I went through it, maybe make it a little easier for them. And so that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
It's very rewarding.
When you've been speaking a number of times, and so we're speaking here about this post-abortion syndrome, which are various manifestations coming out of that wound, but how so many are not in touch with some of the behaviors that are a real problem for other people and for them in terms of relationships or in terms of medicating in various ways, not helpful, and they don't connect it with this trauma and what's happened. It's almost like a block on it, or it's laying at deeper recesses, or because this is similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. It's the same kind of thing.
It is,
but this is the category.
Stress.
Okay,
yes.
Dealing with the whole abortion area, and so it's trauma, and it's not like all trauma gets really processed and thought through exactly. It's suppressed. It's there. It's images. It smells. It's whatever, and it's there. So that's something that we need to understand, because there's so many women and men struggling with this, but they wouldn't think about that. You think they would. What's going on with that? How does it begin to surface? How do you draw it out, or how does that work, that they can get in touch with it?
The general society consensus is, you know, it's not a big deal. You don't really need to talk about it. So the woman doesn't. She suppresses it. She may mention it a few times, and people may criticize her and tell her she's hypersensitive or needs to just get over it. So she'll shut down further. And I think it's more prevalent. It's prevalent in the majority of women at some level. I see it. I feel it in their. I see it in their eyes, the sadness. I hear it in their voice. I'd like to encourage every woman that's had an abortion just to consider the possibility that it has affected them, and then go from there. And because it's my job has been primarily to connect the dots. The majority of my patients will come in with depression, anxiety, no addictions, anger issues, and things like that. No idea that it's related to this. So it's quite prevalent, and it's just not understood yet nearly enough by the society.
Now, you mentioned kind of in your introduction to us that your practice specialty is addiction and grief counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does that have to do with abortion? Maybe it has a lot to do with it. You know, addictions, grief. How does that fit with the syndrome?
Well, it's very interesting. The majority of women, and men too, will come in not knowing why they're depressed or anxious or grieving. And we find a lot, in the majority of cases, there is a component to having had an abortion. So we handle that. And so, you know, like I was just saying a few minutes ago, just assisting them, first of all, to connect the dots. So that there really is a roots of the depression and the other behavior in the having had the abortion. And then seeing how the first step is counseling, and then there's a lot of follow-up recovery that can be done after that.
Like what? What do you recommend them to different groups?
Counseling is just the first step, and I like to have my patients exposed to stories from other women who have gone through the same thing, so they don't feel alone. I think the isolation and feeling lonely is a big component. Yeah. And once it's off their chest, and there's some relief, right? There's some healing takes place immediately right there, because there's, okay, I'm not the only person who did this. Other people are suffering too. I'm not crazy. I'm not oversensitive. And it's a relief. And then further support groups. And further to that, there's wonderful recovery workshops, weekend seminars. And I have my people on the support staff of the hotlines to discuss all the options and places. And they choose the right one. So, and then that's a tremendous step further. And finally, at some point, when they know they've recovered enough, because we can see the changes in their everyday life, they're not so depressed. Well, yeah, you know what? I'm not so depressed anymore. Yeah. I'm actually getting along better with this person. I'm not so sad. I have more, my thoughts are much more positive. So I give them positive reinforcement that, yeah, this is really making a difference. Right. The fact that you're processing all this trauma. And then finally, the final stage is going out like I am and talking to healing and helping other women to go through the same thing.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful part of the journey of when I like what you said in the beginning, to realize you're not the only one, because part of it is the fear and the entrapment, like I'm the only person, and if she ever knew what I did, she wouldn't love me, or he wouldn't love me, or they wouldn't love me. But Jesus knows the worst about us, and he loves us. And so it's really, it's bringing it to the light, and it's exposing that trapped darkness that just stays inside of us.
Yes.
And we have a client, and she came to us, and she had an abortion, and she came back, and she was gonna have another abortion, and she chose life this time, and she's also gonna be our banquet speaker this year and share part of her testimony. I mean, she's really ready. Like when she left that one day, it was what God did, and it was a miracle. And you see all the lights come back on, and she went back to church, and I mean, she just started connecting all the life buttons in her life, and it was like, and this is where I can live, and this is where I can be. And so you see that. And then you want others in that place.
Yes.
And so you want to rescue all the others who might stay in the darkness or believe the lie that nobody is going to love them.
That's the most rewarding part of the practice, is when you see that change in your patients, clients, and nothing beats that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you were saying that. I mean, you were saying, the different stages and phases. I mean, you're really not in tune at all. You're not even making the connection. You're helping to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. And finally, they're processing, which is the real problem with trauma. You didn't process the trauma. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know it's irrational. Why I'm behaving and why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it hasn't been worked through. And so once you start working through that and getting in touch with that, you get this relief. Things you've seen and you like that you don't like, but at least you're saying, I don't feel insane. I don't feel crazy.
Yes.
Okay. And then, so you're getting set free, and then you're saying one of the final phases is you're contributing now. And that's what that girl's doing. Mm-hmm. She's gone through the process of healing. Mm-hmm. Not that she won't ever have a flashback or have to look at something again or feel regret, but now she's giving. She could stand up at a banquet. Not that we're asking everybody to do that, but she says, I want to contribute. I want to share my story, like you're doing. I mean, you're doing two things. You're sharing your expertise, but you're transparent, and you shared your journey, And you say, I could actually share that this would be redemptive. Not only am I forgiven and set free, I want to help other people. And that's what John Paul was saying. You could become one of the most eloquent spokespersons, which is who you are in your journey and story. Everybody's unique, and contribute.
Right, because the sadness stays. However, the change, the positive changes remain. You're more fully connected with other people, and your relationships improve. So, you see the positive change. So that's what you're aiming mm-hmm. for.
And that you're worthy to be loved, because sometimes post-abortive women really struggle with self-hate.
Yes.
And they may even believe that God has forgiven them, but then in their interior life, they never really forgive themselves. And so that's a journey where they can set her free, where she allows her, she forgives herself for the what she participated in, right?
Yes, yeah, and then, you know, my baby, I never would make the conscious choice to have an abortion just so I could go out and save hundreds of other babies, but that's mm-hmm. actually what in fact has happened.
Mm-hmm.
My baby was sacrificed, but not in vain. I can say she was a trooper, and we're out there saving like the hundreds, maybe mm-hmm. thousands of other babies from the same fate.
Right, mm-hmm. and that's the gospel of life. I mean, that's what God does. And he sets all of us free, no matter what, our addiction, abortion, mm-hmm. whatever it is, we're all bound, but he's come to set us free when we can tell our story and heal and be a wounded healer.
Yes.
The beauty of that journey.
Yes.
We had a guest on that deals with Catholic in recovery, it's called, and he talked about how, you know, he came out of multiple addictions and what brought him to that point. But then a man coming to him and said to him, what I could never say, but he said, I understand exactly where you are. I know where you are. And he says, you'll never have to do this again. And I'll show you the way. And he said, this guy pulled me out, showed me the way, which wasn't him, it was all this way. And he said, so I just grew, and so at some point I understood I have to pull somebody else. This guy pulled me with his hand out of a pit,
mm-hmm.
and I need to pull out. And that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the nature of God, really, whether they believe in God or not, which he's giving, which he's, mm-hmm. you know, reaching out. We're gonna take a break at this point and keep you over for the final segment, and just give us the best of what you want to share, okay?
All right.
Hope you're being touched today. There's a number of websites going up. I really would recommend to you optionline.org, optionline.org. They can put a number up there. If you're considering abortion, call that number now. And they will get you help wherever you live throughout the United States and other countries as well, and get you help of people that can help you through this time. You say, well, it's too late for me. I've had an abortion. I've had 5 abortions. I've had 10. I counseled the girl with 12 abortions. And you could be forgiven and set free. You still might be sad to some degree in remembering, but God would actually forgive you and use you for his glory. This is the extravagance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're wrapping up our conversation with Dr. Anna Norden. We want to turn this time over to you, Doc, for you to share your expertise or anything that's on your heart that you would want to say.
Oh, sure. I've come to notice that women of any background have a post-traumatic regret from their abortion. It's not because they're Catholic or Christian or Buddhist or atheist or agnostic. It's across the board. And these are all God's children, you know, coming to any mother. So, you know, just you don't even have to necessarily convert to a faith to work through this healing process. It's a very real syndrome. It happens to every woman, I believe. Practically every single woman has some element of this. And I also see, just some of the stories I hear from women as they were walking into the abortion clinic, they saw two angels on each side of the door, and they didn't hesitate and they didn't stop, but they mentioned that to me, and so that's a pretty big sign.
Mm-hmm.
So look for those kind of signs, I think, and you're not going to be punished or chastised for having done this. And I know there's a lot of hesitancy to look into this, because people sense it's going to be painful at first. You know, you're going to feel the full brunt of the pain, the suffering, the sadness, the regret, without any addictive mental medication to heal that, to cover that pain. But after you go through that, it's a little passage of painful experiences, but then the door on the other side is something unbelievable, like you've never experienced before. It's freedom. It's yeah. I'm not burdened. I'm not weighed down by the shame, this guilt any longer. So it's really worth the journey. A tiny little bit of pain for a lifetime of freedom, mm-hmm. freedom of your soul.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it. And you're not condemned. And you know, we love you. We care about you. And you're not a bad person.
How could they reach you if they, do they have to come personally for counseling, or do you do face-to-face time?
Yeah, I do Zoom through. Okay. I have clients throughout the country. And my email address is drannanorden@gmail.com. So that's just DR and then my name, annanorden@gmail.com. And yeah, I'd be happy to speak with anyone and refer them to whatever resources there might be. But I do encourage every woman who's had an abortion just to take some time to reflect, is this really affecting me? And then, you know, take it from there.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Norden, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sharing your own journey and story, God's restoration in your life, and how you came to the place where you said, I want to be a contributor to setting, you know, women and men free from this. It just happened to me. I was blind, but now I see, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that.
Welcome to the EWTN family. It's been wonderful to have you. John Paul II said, don't be afraid. It may be painful at first to look at this, but you're already in pain. You're just not in touch with your pain. Better to be in touch with your pain, to understand, to work through a process as difficult as it is, and to begin to get some relief. And then maybe even joy. You're allowed to have joy. And then maybe I want to help somebody else. I just want to tell my story, what happened to me, and what it means to be set free. Be part of a community where people can hear your story and affirm the humanity in you. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim. Enjoy. Bye now.